Hello and welcome to this news event sponsored by the law firm Piper Wolf, Carr, Kane, and Conway, or Piper Wolf for short, and you'll be hearing from three speakers today. Before we introduce them, I'm going to invite the operator on the line to explain how reporters can ask questions during the Q&A period. Operator?
During the question and answer session, you may ask a question by pressing star then one on your touchtone phone. If you would like to remove yourself from the queue, you may press star then two. Again, it's star then one to ask a question.
Thank you. And we will repeat those instructions about how members of the news media can pose questions at the start of the Q&A period. I want to mention that the news release related to today's event is available on the web. It's at gpblawyer.com. Again, that's gpblawyer.com. So as I mentioned, you'll be hearing from three speakers. First, attorney Joseph Pfeiffer, managing partner at Pfeiffer, Wolf, Carr, Kane, and Conway. Second, Loretta DeHay, an Austin, Texas woman who invested $100,000 in GPB Auto. And third, Jason Kane, partner, Pfeiffer, Wolf, Carr, Kane, and Conway. So let's go to our first speaker, Joseph Pfeiffer, managing partner at Pfeiffer, Wolf, Carr, Kane, and Conway. Go ahead, Joseph.
Thanks, Max. This is Joe Pfeiffer here at Pfeiffer Wolf. We're here today to announce our week of reckoning for the GPB Capital Ascendant Scheme. Those of you who have been following this story know that we've been sounding the alarm about GPB Capital for some time now. On September 18, 2019, Pfeiffer Wolf and our co-counsel, Meyer Wilson, forecast an avalanche of retiree arbitration claims in the GPB scandal. Last November 6th, Pfeiffer Wolf held a New York City news conference to present a GPB whistleblower who was fired after refusing to help cover up the GPB Ascendant scheme. Late last month, state securities regulators in Massachusetts went to court to accuse GPB Capital of fraud, specifically of using new investor cash to pay dividends to other investors, which is the very definition of a Ponzi scheme. Today, Pfeiffer Wolf is announcing a major new push to take down the GPB Ascendant supply chain of greed, an amended class action lawsuit filing in Texas, and a major milestone of the filing of three dozen FINRA arbitration claims by our firm alone. I'm going to focus on the big picture here, including the updated class action lawsuit. And our next speaker, my partner Jason Kane, will focus on the arbitration case. The bottom line is that we are talking about a swindle with around 2,000 victims and up to $1.8 billion, that's billion with a B, in losses. And this scheme emanated from Texas. In addition to an assortment of different funds, it used the lure of auto dealerships to entice investors. The amended class action complaint filed today outlines the scheme to defraud retirees and other investors, many of whom were concentrated in Texas, Florida, and Arizona. One fund in particular, the GPB Automotive Portfolio, is made up of auto dealerships, which was used as a major selling point for investors. The lawsuit notes that GPB Capital's Prime Automotive Group was run into the ground and is now in jeopardy of losing its association to leading auto manufacturers. The updated Pfeiffer Wolf lawsuit also focuses on the intertwined Austin-based brokerage firm Ascendant Capital, which was intimately involved at every key step of this scheme. The lines where GPB stopped and Ascendant began were blurred beyond recognition. According to the class action lawsuit, Ascendant celebrated the fact that it pulled down over $800,000 in commissions from GPB Capital victims in a single month. That's $800,000 in commissions in a single month. What I'd like to make clear is the following. This is a week of reckoning for an investment scheme that was rotten to the core from day one. The GPB Ascendant machine was engineered to generate illicit profits for its organizers and their broker henchmen. We're fighting to hold anyone who profited off this GPB Ascendant scheme accountable, and we encourage investors to contact us. Brokers around the country and GPB itself continue to stave off questions about these funds. GPB even liquidated some underlying companies within one of the funds to pay so-called distributions to investors across other funds. But I say, where are the audited financials? Where are the investors' tax documents? And a liquidation is not a distribution. If you are an investor who doesn't think that your broker's and GPB's answers are good enough, it's time to hold them accountable. It's time to step forward and fight to recover your losses. That concludes my opening statement. I look forward to taking your questions in the Q&A period.
Thank you. Again, that was Joseph Pfeiffer, Managing Partner at Pfeiffer, Wolf, Carr, Kane, and Conway. And that takes us to our second speaker, Loretta DeHay, an Austin, Texas woman who invested $100,000 in GPB Auto. Loretta?
Good afternoon. My name is Loretta DeHay. I'm 62 years old, and I live in Austin, Texas. My late husband and I spent decades working to put aside enough money to retire in comfort. We always trusted that our broker had our best interests in mind. When my husband passed away, I thought I was doing the right thing by continuing to trust our broker. To think that sky-high commissions were the driving force behind our broker's recommendations just makes me sick. It was so disheartening to learn that the $100,000 I invested in GPB through our broker was such a dead end. I was assured that this was a safe investment that would generate retirement income that I could rely on. My brokerage firm sold me on GPB's automotive division. I trusted my broker, and he recommended what basically turned out to be a Ponzi scheme. Now I am fighting to hold GPB, the brokerage firm, and anyone else who profited off of this accountable. This is a nightmare for me, as it would be for anyone. Anyone who worked all of their life and then had everything they worked so hard for put in jeopardy. That is why I'm working with the attorneys at Pfeiffer Wolf. I'm seeking recovery for my funds through the class action lawsuit and through the FINRA arbitration claim that was filed today. I think it's an outrage that this company is still in business, and to think that so much of this scheme was run right out of Austin, Texas. It just makes me furious. You hear about stuff like this that happens on Wall Street, but I never thought it could happen here in Texas. Everyone who profited off of investors needs to be held accountable. Actions have consequences, and that is why I am here today. This concludes my statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Loretta. Again, that was Loretta DeHay, an Austin, Texas woman who invested $100,000 in GPB Auto. Let's go to our third and final speaker, Jason Kane, partner, Pfeiffer Wolf, Carr, Kane, and Conway. Jason?
Yes, thank you for that introduction. You just heard from Joe about the big picture of the GPB Ascendant Ponzi scheme and what we are announcing today. As he mentioned, we are talking about 2,000 investors who have put about $1.8 billion into the scheme. And the key thing to understand is that a hub of brokers in Austin, Texas, so-called sales warriors, cast a national net to reel in unsophisticated investors from around the country. We're talking about thousands of emails and phone calls every single month. After a few years of GPB Ascendant keeping the fat commissions to themselves, roughly 60 brokerage firms around the country decided that they couldn't stand on the sidelines any longer. These brokers and brokerage firms were flown to Austin for parties and pep rallies, touting the excessive commissions that brokers would be able to extract from investors. Disguised as diligence meetings, the GPB Ascendant team was training a bigger sales force to act as ropers to get investors into the GPB capital tent. This is the supply chain of greed that is referred to in the news release. The addition of national brokerage firms created an external sales force that was retailing the scheme to individual investors. The little bit of good news we have is that once viable brokerage firms entered the picture, FINRA arbitration became an available forum to make things right. This is the other part of the week of reckoning, where we go into arbitration with each investor who lost money and fight to recover their losses. When it comes to arbitration, it's not uncommon for a law firm to have a few or even several proceedings involving the same brokerage firm. But in the case of GPB, we have about three dozen going on. And that is a remarkable milestone that shows the size and scope of this scheme. Sadly, the number should be considerably higher. There should be hundreds or even 1,000 cases in the works. Investors who think they were ripped off by a broker peddling GPB funds need to contact us. Here's how it works at FINRA Arbitration. These cases focus on the misconduct of the brokers who are responsible for luring investors into the GPB Ascendant scheme and then collecting fat commission checks for doing so. In addition to misleading sales tactics, the brokerage firms are faulted for failing to do their due diligence and to ensure that the risky, illiquid, and sophisticated investments they recommended were in any way suitable for what were often very inexperienced investors who put their nest eggs on the line. This two-pronged attack goes after the whole supply chain of greed that made this possible. The amended class action complaint filed today unveils the GPB Ascendant House of Horrors in Austin, Texas. Additionally, the wave of about 36 arbitration cases filed so far reflects the key roles that brokers and brokerage firms played in finding the victims whose pockets and bank accounts were pillaged. Investors who are holding out hope that GPB Capital will somehow get back on track and that their investments will be just fine need to ask themselves a few pointed questions. Where are the audited financials? Where are the promised distributions? And most importantly, why haven't I ever received an acceptable answer to these questions? The wheels are coming off GPB Capital, and they have been for some time. If you are an investor in this GPB Ascendant scheme, you need to step forward now. Wishful thinking will not get your money back. It's time to step forward and pick up the phone. It's time to hold the entire supply chain of greed accountable for this debacle. Thank you. That concludes my opening statement, and I look forward to taking your questions.
Thanks, Jason. Again, that was Jason Kane, partner, Piper Wolf, Carr, Kane, and Conway. And that takes us to the Q&A portion of the call. Before we begin, I'd like to bring the operator back on the line to explain once again how members of the media can queue up to ask a question.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you decide to withdraw your question, please press star then two to remove yourself from the list. Please limit yourself to one question and a single follow-up. If you do need to ask an additional question, please know that you may press star then one to rejoin the queue.
Thank you. And while we're waiting for our first question, I want to let you know that information and an audio recording of the news event will be available online later today at gpblawyer.com. It's no spaces, gpblawyer.com. Okay, operator, let's just begin with our first question, please.
Absolutely. Our first question comes from Bill Myers with Regulatory Compliance Watch. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. Hope you're well and safe. Question for the councils, if you please. I'm wondering where you are in discovery and what you've learned, especially about the Chenea connections that you mentioned last fall. But I'm curious, especially if you have any thoughts about why Massachusetts so assiduously avoided mention of the Cheney name. Thank you.
Hey, Bill, this is Jason Kane. You know, with the filing of the amended complaint in the class action case, you know, we have not entered the discovery phase of that litigation yet. You know, what we've been able to uncover thus far is that the Chernea connection, you know, is pretty obvious. And that's just been done through, you know, using Google and, you know, Pacer, not exactly, you know, highly technical, you know, tools. With respect to why the Massachusetts regulators avoided Chernea, you know, I don't know. I haven't been able to contact them and ask them those questions. But I think it's safe to say that, you know, given everything that was uncovered, you know, the conflicts of interest here between, you know, David Gentile, the CEO of GPB, Schneider, all of the actors here, you know, it's pretty, I just don't think they needed it, frankly. The conflicts of interest were obvious.
And operator,
just to follow on that, I'm sorry. This is Joe Pfeiffer. Just to follow on that, they were obvious, and we don't have any special magic or wizardry we're using over here. We're using tools that are available to the public to uncover these things, and the things that we get in discovery are often protected by protective orders that keep those documents confidential at the defendant's insistence. But since we were able to find this stuff that we can talk about publicly, you have to wonder, where were the auditors doing during this? Where was the due diligence committee at these broker-dealers? All these things could have been known and should have been known before they were before GPB was given clean audits and before these broker-dealers sold this stuff. Thank you.
Operator, let's go to our next question, please.
Our next question comes from Bob Seckler with the Austin American Statesman newspaper. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just had three questions, actually. One, could you spell Loretta's last name for me? And two, this lawsuit has not been certified as a class action yet. Am I correct about that? And the third is, I'm curious how you know the number of victims. I mean, my understanding is the company hasn't been charged or anything like that. So I'm just wondering where you're getting the estimated number of victims.
Max, I'll answer that first about my name. That's easy. It's my last name is D as in diligence, E-H as in hand, A-Y, DeHay.
And then what is it, cap, just D-E-H-A-Y. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, this is Jason.
Go ahead, Jason.
No, I was going to say, yeah, to answer the second question, you are correct that the class has not been certified as of yet.
Okay. And then finally, as to how we know how many investors, the SEC filings, the due diligence reports we've seen, and you know, that coupled with the volume of calls and number of people that we've talked to all tell us that it's well over 2,000 investors.
They have not been charged with anything yet? They have not been charged with anything yet?
You mean criminally, have they been charged yet?
Right.
They have not criminally been charged yet, although they are the subject of a number of civil lawsuits, the number, you know, over three dozen arbitrations filed by this this law firm and the class action. And also, they had their offices raided by the FBI, which seems like a precursor to something happening,
right,
although I don't have any special information.
Not a good sign, obviously. So the over 2,000 clients, I mean, are those just their number of clients is my point? I mean, is that just how many clients they have?
The investors, yeah. They had over 2,000. We know that.
So you're basically saying all those people are victims.
Yeah, because, you know, look, you got this. The supply chain of greed supplied the greed widgets. In this case, it was GPB. And everybody who bought the GPB was a victim of the broker's greed, the compliance officer's greed, and everyone involved in GPB's greed, and the auditor's greed.
Okay.
And they all
I just wanted
money.
To be clear that, okay. No, I get that.
Yeah.
But my point is, you're just that's just their number of investors in your view. I mean, obviously they might have a different opinion, equals the victims. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, if you invested in this, you're losing
your
money. I mean, might be able to wordsmith that a little, but that sounds like a victim to me.
Okay. No, I understand that. And
yep.
So then you said that predominantly they were in Texas, Florida, and Arizona. Is that correct?
Those are the biggest pockets we've seen.
Those
I don't know that, but those that's what we've seen.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And this is Jason Kane. I just want to add one thing and remind everyone on the call that, you know, this is the very rare instance where the chief compliance officer of GPB, I mean, he has been charged criminally. That happened in October of 2019. That's a remarkable event in the history of any fund when the chief compliance officer, the person who's supposed to be, you know, in charge of protecting the investors and making sure everything's on the up and up, is charged with a crime.
Hey, operator, let's go to our next question, please.
Our next question comes from Melissa Burton with Automotive News. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. I have a few about the FINRA arbitration. I was wondering if you could give us a sense of how many of those investors invested in the auto fund, and maybe give us a range of what some of the losses look like for those investors and or how much they invested. And then if you could tell us anything about if there's been any outcomes from the arbitration. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Jason Kane. I'll handle that. You know, we represent investors who invested anywhere from $100,000 to, you know, millions of dollars in GPB. GPB Automotive seems to be the largest of the various funds that GPB was raising money for. And so we have millions of dollars of losses relating to the GPB Automotive Fund. To answer your question about, you know, where we stand in the process, we filed our first cases related to GPB in October of 2019. So we have not yet, you know, gone to arbitration and gotten any sort of final judgment yet on any of the cases. But we are confident, knowing what we know about the due diligence that should have been done and what the due diligence would have revealed, that GPB was not suitable for anybody.
And just to follow on that, I'm sorry, just real fast.
Go ahead.
This is Joe Piper. You know, this is because it relates to your first question. But GPB Auto, we know that in 2015 alone, they raised $120 million. And as near as I can tell, that money is kaput. You know, nobody is buying GPB right now, that as far as I can tell.
Quickly, as a follow-up, are you able to, is Ms. DeHay, is her case going through arbitration as well?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and are you able to disclose the broker or the company that she worked with?
Ms. DeHay, why don't you handle that? I think that you are in the best position to answer those questions.
Sure. My broker's name is Dan Dillard. He has a local company called, I think, Nest Investments, but then he also is working through SagePoint, or was at that time, SagePoint Financial.
Thanks. I have one more if you have room for it. It's a quick one. Do you know if the state of Texas is investigating any of the brokerage companies, like the state of Massachusetts looked at, the securities division there?
This is Jason. Officially, I can tell you I don't know if Texas is into this, what the state of Texas investigation is. I just don't know the answer to that. But I do know that based on the nexus with Austin, that the Texas State Securities Division is very interested and, you know, has talked to people.
Let's go to our next question, please.
Our next question comes from Jeff Berman with Think Advisor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Either Joseph or Jason, can you first just clarify, so there's an amended complaint. Was it filed today in federal district court in Austin? Are you going to be filing it today? And could you just clarify the timing on that in the court?
Sure. It's filed. This is Joe.
Do you know, is there a link available to it? Because I'm trying to find it online. Like, I don't see any amended complaints yet.
Absolutely. It's linked in the press release.
Oh, it is. Okay, because I didn't.
And on our website. And if you need it, you contact Max or one of us, and we'll get it to you. But I think you should be able to find it in both those places.
Thank you. And if I can just ask a quick question of Loretta, your first name, is it Loretta? Just to be sure.
Yes, that's correct.
And how far back does this go? When did you start? When did the whole situation start for you? Like, what year was it?
So I actually go back with Mr. Dillard, my broker,
about 13 years. He used to work for my credit union, where my husband and I banked, and then he left there or was fired from there in 2013, and I was not aware of that. But after he left, he kept trying to get me to move to his company. And then finally, about 5 years later in 2018, I actually did. So we go way far back, but the GPB relationship, he talked me into investing with them in 2018.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's go to our next question, please.
Our next question comes from Hillary Burns with the Boston Business Journal. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for your time today. I was wondering if GPB Capital has responded at all to these cases or if they've cooperated with you in any way.
This is Joe Pfeiffer. No, they have not cooperated in any way, and I don't anticipate them to. I suppose it would be nice. I've been doing this for over 20 years. Suing investment schemers and their helpers on behalf of investors. And I've yet to find one that has cooperated. Generally speaking, they have to be, you can lead the horse to water and hope they drink. And a lot of times you have to put the horse's head underwater in order to get them to drink in this case. And I fully anticipate that's what we're going to have to do here with GPB and their helpers.
Got it. And you mentioned the Massachusetts regulators looking into this. Have you had any conversations with those state officials up here?
This is Jason. So, yeah, I had some conversations with them prior to their filing of the complaint. And I would just, I would say the Massachusetts, they were out in front on this, at least compared to the other regulators. They're taking these allegations seriously. And they filed a complaint that really does lay out the fact, quite well that, GPB is Ascendant and Ascendant is GPB and that this is all based in Austin, Texas.
And what we found from the Massachusetts complaint is that it vindicates what we've been saying for 2 years. We've known all of those things. We presented a whistleblower who was a due diligence officer at a brokerage firm who was fired for trying to blow the whistle on GPB. We were happy to see that Massachusetts is at the forefront of the regulators on this, but it's not a lot we didn't know.
Got it. And David Rosenberg, who led Prime Auto for a while, is based up here as well. Have you been in contact with him at all? I know he was also fired from GPB Capital last year.
This is Jason. We have not had any direct communications with Mr. Rosenberg.
Okay.
But if you look at his complaint and our complaint, you can see that they're very similar. He cribs from some of the stuff we have in there.
Got it. That's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. This is Jason. If everyone has a moment, I'd like to kind of go back to something that Loretta mentioned. And that is that, her broker, not only was he previously terminated in 2013 from a prior brokerage firm, in 2018, he also had IRS tax liens. And, that gets us to the point where, we're really talking about, GPB's enormous commissions. Mr. Hay is the victim of someone who, while, convincing her to trust her with her own assets, was having trouble managing his own. And so when I think of this GPB and this broker-dealer scheme, I think the equation is pretty simple. Big commissions always equal little or no due diligence, and little or no due diligence equals, in the GPB case, hundreds of millions of dollars of investor losses. And that is what she is the victim of. This is just too enticing, especially for someone who's, who's about to make 8% for filling out some paperwork.
Thank you. Operator, can we go to our next question, please?
Absolutely. Our next question comes from Mitch Mitchell with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for talking to me today. I was just wondering, do you have any clients or investors that you've identified in the North Texas area, the Dallas-Fort Worth area?
I believe we have. This is Jason. I believe the answer is yes.
This is Joe. I just confirmed it. The answer is yes. If you want to talk to us afterwards, we might be able to put you in touch.
And I was also wondering, has anyone in the course of this investigation been able to recover any money regarding these, in the course of these proceedings?
You know, we fully anticipate that they will be able to recover money, but that's a little like asking if we're going to get married on a first date. We're still relatively, even though we've been at this for 2 years, legal time moves a little like geological time. And so we anticipate that we should start being able to see recoveries for investors in the arbitration cases anyway, later this year or early next year.
Do they still have assets?
The broker-dealers have assets. We believe GPB has assets. They certainly have insurance. We know that the helpers, in no scheme that's this big where you raise $1.8 billion, operates without helpers, accountants, fund managers, and the like. And those folks have assets. So we do anticipate being able to get a recovery for investors.
All right. Operator, let's go to our next question.
Our next question comes from Diana Britton with Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I know you guys filed 36 arbitration claims. Across how many brokerages does that include?
This is Jason. I'm going to estimate that they include about 20 broker-dealer firms.
Can you name any of them?
Yeah, we can name plenty of them.
I mean, maybe I can follow up with Max and get a list.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you
provide
a list?
You know, Royal Alliance, Pershing Kaplan. There are plenty. Sage Point, obviously, Mr. Hay is a Sage Point victim. You know, there's three off the top of my head.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Operator, let's go to our next question, please.
Our next question comes from Bob Seckler with the Austin American Statement newspaper. Please go ahead.
Hey, so just to follow up, I was wondering if you could tell me how many victims have contacted you guys and how many have signed on to the class action. And also for Ms. DeHay, I was curious, I'm just unclear. So her broker was not with Ascendant, but he was selling the products that they were marketing. I just want to make sure I'm clear on that.
Sure, I can answer that. So it's my understanding, he had his own sort of firm called Nest Financial, but then he hung his shingle with Sage Point Financial. And that's how I met him. Actually, I met him because of my prior relationship that he had with me and my.
But how you got involved in this scam or Ponzi scheme is that he was selling you products from this
exactly.
This is Jason.
Yeah. Sage Point would have entered into a selling arrangement with GPB,
okay.
And that's how GPB kind of got on the menu of options for people like Mr. Dillard to sell to victims like Mr. Hay.
I see. Okay, thank you. And then the other question is about how many people have contacted you and how many people have signed on.
I just looked this up, Jason. We've gotten contacted by over 120 people. We have about half of those signed up. You know, one of the pernicious things about this scheme is that GPB continues to say that they're going to have audited financials any day now. They make these distributions that are really just liquidating things and then giving the investors their money back. They are doing everything they can to prevent investors from making claims and even knowing that they have claims. And so we fully anticipate that nearly everyone that contacts us will sign up, but I think some people are still on the fence due to TPB's actions.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, operator, let's go to our next question, please.
Our next question is a follow-up from Mitch Mitchell with Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Please go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'll hopefully talk to the media person after all. It's my mistake. Apologize.
Okay. All right, operator, do we have any other questions queued up at this time?
We have no further questions at this time.
Okay. Well, do you mind repeating how members of the media can pose a question if they need to just before we end, just while we have all of our speakers in one place?
Absolutely. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one on a touchtone phone. If you'd like to remove yourself from the queue, please press star then two. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star then one if you have a question.
Okay. Did someone just queue up there?
We do. We have Melissa Burton from Automotive News. Please go ahead.
Hi. I was just curious, do you guys have a timeline or thinking on, I guess, how soon the court may hear or take up the certification of the class issue? And then just to confirm, when you said that about half of the 120 that have contacted you have signed up, what does that mean exactly? Have they signed up to be part of the class or to do a FINRA arbitration?
It's both, really. They signed up for both. And I'm sorry, what was the other question?
Just do you have any sense in time when the court may take up the certification of the class, or you know how long that may take to happen?
I would expect that sometime next year they will take that up, but you know that's really in the control of the court, and so we just can't control that. But I suspect sometime next year.
Thank you.
Okay. Operator, do we have any additional questions at this time?
I'm showing no further questions at this time.
Okay, thank you. Well, we want to make sure you know where to get more information about today's news conference. If you need to connect with any of the speakers that you heard from today, you can contact Max Carlin at 703-276-3255. Again, that's 703-276-3255. News release went out via email, but it's also going to be available online at gpblawyer.com, no spaces. That's gpblawyer.com. As well, an audio recording of this news event is going to be available there later today. So we do thank you for joining this news event sponsored by the law firm Piper Wolf, Carr, Kane, and Conway. And that concludes today's news event. Thank you very much.